This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, day proved through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet
and welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three, it's 6:04 here in the chilly Bayou City this morning. So it's cooling down, about 34 now here on the Bay Area, but looks like it's about 39 in Corpus. It's finally dipped below 40 down that way. We're going to go even farther down the coast now. We're going to check in with Rihanna De La Cruz and see what's up with her this morning. Captain Rihanna, what's up, girl?
Good morning, Mickey. How are you?
A little chilly down your way?
Yeah.
And breezy?
Yeah, it's cooling down pretty fast. It's blowing about 20 knots here, and yeah. Air temperature is 42. So, it's cooling down in a hurry. And the house is like shaking because of how strong the gusts are. So,
yeah, there's pretty good gusts this morning.
Yeah, it's... I knew it was coming. I was like, I'm just been bracing. I'm like, oh, it's fixing to come. It's fixing to hit. You know, the only thing that always concerns me is, you know, the water temperature and, you know, how cold, because it's fixing to get really cold. It says, you know, if we have precipitation, you know, in the following days when it freezes, there's going to be ice, and some areas are calling for snow, and I'm like, golly, this is, you know, I'm not ready for it, but you know, it just comes with this time of year. It's prone to happen, you know.
Yeah, and I know.
Being prepared is always key, and you know, of course, I always hope for mild weather, but it seems like we've been given a lot of mild weather type days here recently. I think it's time for some brutal conditions.
Yeah, old man winter finally showed up, didn't he?
Yeah, it's here. It sure is here. You know, been fishing hard this last week, and you know, yesterday the water temperature had warmed up quite a bit and conditions were just, you know, almost ideal. Of course, post full moon, mm-hmm. you know how that bite gets. It's a little weird in the morning. You know, it can be a little weird throughout the early part of the day. But once, you know, I've found that during a full moon, the bite is always best in the late afternoon.
Yeah, and, midday to late afternoon. That's when I like it on the backside of a full like that.
Yep, that's
same thing that went was on up here. Our bite was late this week.
Were you able to try out that new rod?
No, I didn't get to go this week. The days that I was off, the weather was bad, but my buddies, you know, started doing good. Especially Thursday is pretty good bite. Friday was a good bite, and it was late.
Yep, that's how it was. We fished Thursday from, you know what, I like to go out early and pretty much just see what the whole day has to offer.
Well, we all do, because, hey, the first day you go late, you know, so, well, we're going to fish from noon till dark. Well, they bite early.
In the morning. That's
how many
right.
times have you seen that happen and you're not there?
Oh, that's right. And that's, you know, it's funny how that happens. And so that's what really drives me to be out there all day. And, you know, and I told my friend, I was like, you know, it'd probably be good if we went out around 10, but then I'm like, nah, let's just meet at 7.
So yeah, let's meet just at go 7, ahead and do it.
Just go ahead and get it done. You know, you can always go back to the boat. The bite's not good. Go back to the boat, have a snack or two, and, you know, just kind of scout, you know, being out there and actually looking and watching and observing, you know, it, you learn a lot. You think days like that when there's not much activity going, the bite's just, the bait's down, the birds are just sitting up, you know, there's not much activity, you know, it's not an unsuccessful day. That is a very successful day. You're learning, you know, you're picking up patterns, and, you know, post full moon, the pattern typically is, you know, in the mornings, it's, the bite is iffy. It's like a little, they're barely grabbing it. They barely thump it. They're not committed. You know, it's a non-committed bite typically in the morning. And so, you know, you start to gather all that data and you store it, you know, and in your mind for future upcoming, you know, trips. Like, you know, typically I don't like to promote days around a full moon. If somebody just absolutely has that day or a week that where they can fish around a full moon, then I'm like, well, you know, that's just how it goes. But I don't like to generally promote days around a full moon because of how, you know, typically how the bite is in the morning. Because usually a lot of clients, they don't want to go out later in the day. And, you know, not only that, it throws me off too. As a guide, it throws me off when, you know, in the morning you're just kind of like waiting, you're anticipating, you're, you know, it's like you're bored in the morning, you can't wait till 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock comes around. It throws me off mentally. And so, you know, a lot of clients, they don't, you know, they have to be back by a certain time or leave out by a certain time. So, you know, it's kind of an awkward situation.
Right.
So I always try to promote days around a new moon or when that major lines up or a minor lines up in the early morning. But, you know, this time of the month, you know, you learn. I think I learn a lot more than, you know, I might not be doing a whole lot of catching. You know, we'll still get bites, decent bites throughout the day. Typically, it's later in the day, but oftentimes, you know, we're out here learning and picking up on activity. And you know, it's funny. You know, Thursday, we fished pretty much all day till the sun was about going down, and the bite for us was around, you know, 3 o'clock. It started around 2:33, and we were able to watch the SpaceX launch. I didn't know that it was gonna launch that day, and when my friend told me, she's like, "Yeah, I think SpaceX is gonna have a launch today." And I said, really? I said, well, it's pretty late. I said, I would think they already have it by now. And we were on a good bite, and I saw smoke off in the distance, and I said, and then all of a sudden I saw something go straight up, and I said, look, there it is. And it's always real eerie when you're out there, but, you know, we have that north
wind. That's got to be pretty cool to be able to see that, though, while you're fishing. That's pretty neat.
It is very neat. It's eerie, too. It's you know, when there's no wind, it vibrates everything. Everything starts shaking.
Even being that far north of it.
Yes, even being that far north of it, especially if there's a southeast wind, man, that sound and the vibrations, and it travels through that area so fast. I know one time I was fishing on the South Shoreline and a SpaceX launch happened, and I could feel the boom, and I could hear it. And we had a southeast wind that day, so it was the sound was traveling pretty good, but you know, there in Mansfield, when there's no wind, man, it'll shake up that water, and that bait will just go crazy. And typically, you know, what I've found is that when that happens, it turns off the bite. The bite just kind of slows down for a little bit.
Right.
It shakes up. You know, you got to know that those fish, they feel that, they sense that, and they're like, man, something's going on. What's the deal? You know, that lateral line that they've got on them, you know, so sensitive.
Right.
You got to know they feel that vibration. And you know, on a high pressure day when it's full sun and they hear something that sounds like maybe thunder, they're like, oh, man, there's no low pressure today. What's going on? You know, so it's got to throw them off. And usually when I've been out there, when it's calm or there's a southeast wind, the bite will kind of die off for just a little bit right after. And then you'll start to get that, you know, the wind will pick up, it'll promote some activity, and then they'll start biting again. But it's pretty neat being out there and seeing that. So we saw it, and I saw that smoke line go up, and said, oh, there it goes. And took a little while for that noise, that boom to get to us. And then you could kind of feel the you know, the vibrations, and
right.
very neat to watch.
Cool.
So
let me knock this break out. Rihanna, I'll be right back at you, girl. Hang with me.
I'll be here.
All right. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:19 here in the Bayou City on a Sunday morning. A little cool out there. It's going to get worse. Hate to say that, but that's old man winter's here. All right, Rihanna, we're back.
All righty, I'm here.
I am too. Tough job. Yeah. Somebody's got to talk about fishing and hunting.
I know it. Somebody's got to do it. Yeah, you know, this last week has just been, it's been an adventure, you know. I mean, seeing what I'm seeing and observing and,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's really funny, one thing, and here's what I've heard from people, you know, that work in the outdoor industry or that, you know, are outdoors a whole lot, or, you know, mainly it's like a lot of, you know, older folks that have been around for a while, and mm-hmm. they'll say, you know, when you see livestock or wildlife up and feeding up in the pastures, right. typically the fish are doing the same. And I do think there's some truth to that.
Oh, there is. The cows are laying down. It's going to be a slow bite. You know, when you're going yes. fishing in the morning, you see all the cows laid up. But when right. they're up and feeding, hey, squirrels are, you know, real busy Chewing. In the yard. Hey, fishing's mm-hmm. going to be good.
That's right. And, you know, I hear that a lot from, you know, friends or friends of friends, and I'm like, and I see it, but the thing that makes me a believer is when you actually see it, you're out there and you're on a bite, and it was like all the animals are kind of in unison, you know, they're sure. all feeding at the same time. Birds are feeding, they're diving, you know, ospreys diving, them deer up on that shoreline are feeding, and you see yes. hogs, you see you know, we'll see turkey occasionally up on, you know, the west shoreline, or, you know, in Baffin up on the shorelines, you'll see those big old hogs too. You'll see them out there feeding. And so, you know, we fish Thursday and I, you know, Friday, I didn't fish Friday, but, on my way back down 77, it was about 4:30, which was when we were on a good bite the day before, and all the nilgai, the deer, the turkeys, everything was out feeding. And so I texted a friend of mine, and she had told me the same thing. Her uncle had told her that, you know, about the feeding periods. You know, the fish, if the livestock is out feeding, typically them fish will be biting too. I texted her. I said, I do believe there's some truth to that because of what I've seen, you know, not because of what I've heard and, you know, whatnot, but when you see it, you know, and you put the time frame together, oh, you know, yesterday we were on a good bite at this time, and look at all the animals, they're all feeding, them nilgai are out, their heads are down, they're chomping away at the grass, and deer are doing the same, turkey are out just moving and feeding. You know, it makes you a believer. And so, you know, whenever I see them, pelicans just perched up, and that's how it's been in the morning. It, you know, here lately after this full moon, you know, them birds are just sitting up there. They're not doing much. Them deer are just sitting, you know, you don't see them, or they're just kind of just hanging around, lounging around, you know, everything's kind of down. And then that bite's down too. And so, you know, you over time, you know, I just collect a bunch of data. And oftentimes, you know, for me personally, I'm an observer. I watch and listen to everything. And sometimes I think it's a curse, you know, when you're too much of an observer, and, you know, and that's everywhere I go, you know, everywhere I go, I don't care where I'm at the grocery store. You so happen to just observe and watch, but you kind of have to these days and be careful. But, you know, it's really helped me out there on the water, you know, being very vigilant and watching and over observing.
Well, you know, we got the luxury up here. We got a lot of birds, you know, pelicans, right. and seagulls, and terns, yep. and mm-hmm. When they're active, so are the fish. But, yep. You know, you get in a doldrum day where, man, you can't get a bite going anywhere, and all the birds are sitting on pilings and piers and on the gas mm-hmm. wells in the middle. All the pelicans are perched up, seagulls. Yep. I mean, you look in the air, there's no activity.
Well, nope.
Chances are there's pressure. Not much fish activity either. But, buddy, yeah. when they get up and start flying around, it's like they know when the fish are going to light up. It's just
it's
they
funny
know.
How that, yeah, it's really neat to see, you know.
Yeah.
in, you know, I'm back home right now in Baffin because of the cold front, but, you know, in Mansfield, you know, when you have all those birds, and I've been seeing a lot of osprey in the area,
yes.
You know, diving, and gosh, those birds there are just absolutely wonderful to watch.
Majestic bird, yeah, man.
Yes, and their catch rate is pretty high. Every time I see one dive, I have only seen one time in the last about 6 months dive and not catch something.
That's it.
They are fantastic fishermen. Those and the brown pelicans, those I always tell my guys and girls when they're on the boat with me, I'm like, those right there are the best fishermen that are out here. Now, you know, they see and they're able to see with those eyes, and man, when you see them diving, you better go and get on that line. And typically, you know, this time of year, especially in Mansfield, I fish my eyes and I'll fish those pelicans. When I see a line of pelicans on a line, you know, on a parallel drop off, or, you know, a line of structure that just looks good, and they're sitting over there on that line, and I mean exactly on that line, I'm like, you're like, they're not sitting there for no reason.
No, they're there for a reason, no doubt.
Yeah. So this time of year, you know, I have people that ask me all the time, you know, what drives you to go to a certain area, or why do you stop here? You know, the structure looks pretty much the same, you know, for miles and miles and miles. And I'm like, well, you know, it's that one little bait flick that just, you know, on the edge of that pothole that makes me turn around and watch, or it's that pelican just hovering with his head down that makes me watch, or, you know, there's little things that over time that you learn to really observe and watch, and then not only that, it's also over time when you actually do follow up on that data, and it produces. When it produces a bite, when you see that and you stop and it produces a bite, that, you know, you start to collect all that data, and then, you know, it drives you to the future and in future times to look for that, you know. And so I always try to tell my, you know, my guys that ask me that, my, well, because in the past it has produced well for me. It's produced well for clients and I, you know, we typically will produce some good bites, even if it's, you know, 2 to 5 pound trout, you know, guys that are wanting just to get bit. I mean, that's it, you know. But if the bait's there, them trout are going to be there, them redfish are going to be there. And right now, you know, all of our smaller bait, shrimp, you know, pinfish, they've all moved out. They're all gone. It's typically right now we're seeing a lot of mullet, bigger mullet too, you know, some pretty good sized mullet, but there's also there's a healthy amount of finger mullet, and the majority of the trout that we've been catching have been ranging between 4 to 7 pounds, and they are healthy. I mean, they're gorging themselves right now. They've got a little gut on them. So, you know, I love it when they start getting that little belly just hanging when you pick them up and you see that big old belly. In my
hand.
You know, a 20-inch fish weighs like 4.5 pounds, you know, 4 pounds. It's like
foraging up for the winter, you know.
And, yeah,
that's what I was impressed with. I hadn't seen finger mullet like that in years, like I did when I was down in Baffin with Cliff this past year. We had to fish the land cut one day. We went down there for two, but the, you know, the wind was wrong for where we wanted to fish. And man, when we were fishing those potholes and grass beds, I've never in my life seen finger mullet like that. The big mullet were in there too, but I mean, tons of those 3, 4, and 5 inch finger mullet just sprinkling all over the top of the water, and you'd throw a 7-inch mirror lure in there and they'd just take it away from you.
Hammer.
It was crazy. It was so much fun.
That seeing that is always an adrenaline rush for me. You know, I try not to get excited.
Yeah, when you see finger mullet skating on top of the water, you better get a plug in there because you're going to get bit.
I know.
That's big time.
I know it. And, you know, that's one thing that I need to work on personally, because when I see that kind of activity in front of me, I get real excited, and I'll find myself, you know, getting out of rhythm. And I think a lot of us, you know, can say the same. When you see stuff like that, it of course it's going to promote excitement. And for me, I always get really excited. Even just thinking about it, I get excited. You know, you see,
you'll get bored with it later in life.
You know? I can't imagine ever getting bored with it, you know, just seeing all that stuff.
Well, it'd just be second nature, like no big deal. I'm just firing there and get me one about 7 pounds out of there. Not a problem.
Like it's nothing.
Right.
See, I'm still, you know, eat up with it. And so whenever I see stuff like that, I think oftentimes my clients, they can sense that energy and that, you know, that excitement, and then they get excited.
Well, that fires your customers up, yeah.
Yeah, it fires them up. And so I always try to maintain a balance with my emotions out there. You know, yesterday, you know, I was cruising along, and I have heard of people saying, you know, we see a bunch of, you know, 5 to 7 pound trout just schooled up. I've never seen it. And of course, a lot of folks that say that, they're in boats with towers, you know, they got those towers and they can really see everything, you know.
Right.
I've got a little lifted console on my boat, but yesterday the sun was just right, and it was aimed just right to where it was lighting up that sand, and I was cruising up on the sand, and I came up on a school of fish, and black top fish, you know, big ones.
Oh,
and
man.
And it stopped me in my tracks. And I told my friend, I said, I'm not going to repeat what I said, but I was like, oh my God, I can't repeat it on here. But it stopped me in my tracks. Well, of course I didn't actually stop because it was pretty shallow, but I said, that ain't redfish and those aren't mullet and that ain't drum.
No.
I circled around and they were just sitting there on the sand, just sitting there, chilling, you know. And it was later in the day too, so that sand had warmed up, and the water depth was probably, man, a little over a foot, you know. And beautiful, just beautiful water. And so I circled around and stopped and I rounded them up, and I had spooked them because I passed them up pretty close. I could, and they were just right over the side of the boat. I saw them there, and came back around and saw them again, and it looked like what I thought it was. And I just kind of rounded them up, and we left. I was like, man, I just want to leave them alone, mark that spot for later.
Yes, ma'am.
But it was a sight to see. I have never actually seen that. You know, I've heard of it. I've heard of people saying, you know, man, they're schooled up. We see them, and I'm not that high or tall.
Well, that's what a lot of guys do. They'll just burn in a boat. They won't even fish them. They just punch them in, you know, and go back later to them. They'll just burn.
Yep.
And look
at
them like that.
And there's fixing to be lots of burn boats here and after this wind dies down.
Yeah.
There was already several. And there was a lot of pressure out yesterday, and I knew there was going to be because, you know, yesterday was the last day.
Everybody was going to try and get their licks in before the bad weather, a whole week stretch. Yeah. Let me
absolutely
knock this break out, Rihanna. I'll be right back, hon. Hang on.
All righty. I'll be here.
Well, Boyd's One Stop, they're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke. They're at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, you can look no farther than Boyd's. From their live well, you know, their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. They have all their different size bottles on display in the store there, plus all their regulators and diffusers. They refill your bottles there at the store also. But if you need more info on the oxygen response, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Guff seafood. No farm-raised at Boyd's, no imports. It's all fresh Guff shrimp. If you're looking for the big 9-12s, 15-18s, whatever size you like, they have always have great availability and good pricing. And their Cajun Grill next door puts out some really good food there also. So call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning and welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 639 here in the Bayou City. All right, Rihanna, we are back. Already.
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
All right.
Thinking about that school trout.
I had a text come in for you during the break wanting to know if this time of year, you know, just to keep your bait selection, you know, when you get out of the boat to make a wade, like in your wading box, what's your go-to baits that you'll get out of the boat this time of year with?
So, my top three colors that I keep in my box all the time when I step foot out of the boat, it's typically watermelon gold glitter, golden brim, and purple demon. And sometimes if the water's real chalky, like it has been because the wind, you know, we've been having these little fronts and wind's been blowing. June bug is another color that I'll throw occasionally.
Right.
But I will pair those up with the Sartreuse jig head. Even in clear water, I just like to add that little pop of color to the bait. And so not only that, but here's another thing too that I will mention. And on days like it, you know, when the conditions have been like they have been, the barometric pressure is really high. You know, sometimes the wind will lie down. Like yesterday, it lied down for us completely. And when it gets like that, the bite can get really tough. And that's when I will downsize. And one of the best bite I had all week, I downsized to golden brim. And it is produced well for me all year round, from Baffin all the way down to Mansfield. So, you know, giving you kind of like a range of water clarity that bait will perform well in. When that sun is real bright and real high, that gold and copper in that bait just shimmers through that water beautifully. And so when they're kind of not biting, you know, they're not committing to the bite. It's just kind of a weird one. Downsizing, it really helps promote a bite. And you know, I can't tell you how many times where, you know, I'll be throwing the XL and they're just not budging. They don't want it. And then I'll downsize that small one and boom, there she is. Just that little downsize, man, it makes a world of a difference when the conditions are a little tough, barometric pressure is really high, they're not really quite committing to a bite. You know, maybe they've already slicked up and, you know, they've already kind of fed, they'll go in for that. And they might go for that little snackaroony, you know, that little smaller bait. And so those three colors that I named off, I will also keep the smaller ones in my bag as well. Now, you know, the watercolor typically will influence what I throw. If it's really nasty and chalky, I'll throw June bug or purple demon. But in water that's somewhat chalky to clear, you can still make out the grass beds and potholes. I love to throw that golden brim or watermelon gold glitter. Those are my those two colors there here recently are probably my top favorites.
Seeing that hurts y'all a lot down there too when y'all get that water, the clarity is so, you know, it's so clear, and then you got clear skies, and Well, those fish are finicky, you know.
They see you coming.
Yeah, they do.
You know, I noticed fishing down there
with, you know, Jay and some other guys. They always look for streaky and chalky water and stuff like that. You just get a lot more bites and better bites out of that kind of water instead of that real air clear stuff.
Definitely. Absolutely, you do.
No,
yeah, because you're able to sneak up on them, you know, and they don't they don't really quite see you coming. They don't feel the pressure, especially when that wind's blowing. You know, you can really sneak up on them potholes or them defined grass beds and just work the outside edges of them and, you know, in knee deep water, and they just don't see you coming. So I'm always, everywhere I go, I'm always looking for what I call baffin water, you know, just chalky emerald green, you know,
that trout green, that dense green.
Yes. Yeah. You put your hand in the water and you can't see the tip of your middle finger. That's kind of what I'm looking for, you know,
right.
Just that sneak up on those big trout water. And if it's too clear, like in the summertime, you know, when that grass is really thick, the turtle grass is thick in there, it filtrates that water pretty nicely. And I just don't like when it's that clear. But right now, you know, with the wind being like it is, and it's been, you know, it's been blowing at a fair speed, so it, you know, it's been keeping that water pretty chalky, and in some areas really, really chalky. So I love it when it's like that. That's just the watercolor that I look for everywhere I go, you know, and about above knee deep water, which is about maybe a foot and a half, you know, that's just the ideal water depth, watercolor. And then, you know, of course, structure, that varies, you know, sometimes it's sand scattered grass beds or, sand scattered grass pockets or grass beds, and then, you know, you have grass scattered sand pockets. And so typically when it's primarily grass and you get those scattered sand pockets, you're in a little bit deeper water. When it's mainly just sand, you're up on that sand where it's a little bit shallower. And so later in the day when that sand heats up a little bit, I love to go up there and find those trout up, you know, a little bit shallower when you know, in the morning it's a little bit cold, and that sand will heat up later in the day and just kind of get around those defined grass beds and work the outside edges of them. Typically you'll see mullet just flickering through there, and whenever them birds are, you know, hovering over it, that's the golden ticket for me. So, you know, typically, you know, I don't like to get into water that's too deep to where you're holding your arms up out of the water. That to me is just uncomfortable. I like having free hands, free shoulders. You're real relaxed, you're loose, it comes freely, it comes naturally. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're stressed and you're tensed in your upper shoulders and arms, and it creates you know, there's stress there, and I don't like that. That's
welcome
why I don't
to my world in Galveston Bay. That's part of life here, man.
Yeah.
Get on that chiropractor highway, baby.
Get the bones cracking.
Man, we have such quick, deep escape off our flats. You know, you start out early, shallow, and then sometimes, you know, in the afternoons, those fish will pull back in. You'll get them in knee-deep water with the sun straight overhead. You just never know. But a lot of times, you know, you get people stomping through them and then push them out, and then you got to go out and get them. Which benefits me because I'm tall. It doesn't matter to me. I'll go get them. I'll put a snorkel on if I have to. We caught some monster trout doing that, but
I know what you mean.
A full day of that with your keeping your elbows out of the water and your arms and shoulders up, it It'll make it you wears sleep down. Good at night. Yeah, it will.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I always stress on, you know, I think it goes back for me. It goes back to golf, you know, having that touch, you know, especially right. around the greens, you know, with chipping and when you're scrounging to save par, you know, you got to have touch around the greens, and that goes back to having touch as far as, you know, your hands and you're free and it flows real smoothly. You're not gripping, you know, your golf club or your rod real tight, and that's when errors happen. And so I've learned to kind of transfer that, you know, around the green touch to working sure. a really lightweight lure. You know, you downsize. Yes, it's finesse fishing, and so
I mean, you look at all your really good fishermen up and down the coast. I mean, they were once in their life was an athlete of some kind, where they were,
right.
you know, golfer, tennis player, ball player, mm-hmm. what have you,
some kind of athlete they, with hand-eye
they've
coordination.
They've got that touch and feel and that savvy and that hand-eye right. coordination. It all mm-hmm. comes into play, man.
It all comes into play, especially for those. And typically, I always see a lot of fly fishermen that come from a golfing background. Like I saw this one professional golfer, I can't think of his name, but he's got a little skiff and he's out there fly fishing when he's not playing golf. And he talks a lot about how he's transferred a lot of the dynamics from golfing over into fly fishing. And that goes a lot for, you know, trout fishing. It's similar in ways to where, you know, it's lightweight tackle. You know, you're throwing, I used to throw a 1/32 hot hook, and that's right. very, very light. And I don't throw it anymore. I used to throw it a lot in Bath, and then I switched over to the Texas Custom 1/16. And so that's what I throw. When you downsize to those little Johns, and you're throwing that lightweight Sarge and Sarge Priest, and you know, you're using, I use 20 pound braid and 20 pound leader line, you know, it's just all lightweight right. equipment, you know, and you feel every little bump, every little twitch, and having free hands when you're doing that and being ready to, you know, when that line is slack and you feel that grab, you know, you've got like half a second, maybe like a second or so to react. You know, you crank down on her, and when that line gets tight and you set that hook, and it's like, boom, right there. You know, having that readiness in your hands and your arms, if you're tense, and you know, that goes back to the holding your shoulders up from not getting your arms wet. That's why I like to have relaxed shoulders and arms mm-hmm. and hands. So when I'm working that lure, man, and I feel that little grab, boom, I'm ready. You know, I'm not using all my energy to hold up my shoulders. I'm going to use all that energy to exert whenever I crank down and set that hook. So throughout the day, you know, when you're fishing 10 hours a day, I try to preserve my energy, and that's of course one way that I do it, you know, setting myself up to where I can use my energy efficiently when the time is needed. And especially if you get into some redfish, bigger redfish, man, they can really get your hands aching by the end of the day, because you know, they naturally dig down and they're just pull and drag. But caught a couple big ones yesterday, big redfish, and they just, man, after tugging away at them, you know, upper slot, it you know, you gotta have to reboot your energy and your hands, you know. And oftentimes I always wonder, man, I wonder how much longer until I get like carpal tunnel syndrome or something in my wrist from just, you know, from cocking my wrist all the time and working.
Hell, the more you use it and do that, you just, you build up a, You know, it's like muscle memory, you know, on a golf swing or anything else you do. And it, so far, I don't have it. My hands and wrists, elbows and shoulders, all that are still good.
All good.
Just, well, I got one bad wheel, and that's it. You know, just one bad knee. I have to nurse, but, hey, it could be worse.
That's right.
6 foot under or in a wheelchair or something else.
Mm-hmm. You're still trucking along.
Still going through the motions. Old fishermen never die. They just smell that way, man.
I try to take care of mainly, you know, for fishermen, our feet and hands are essential. I mean, that's what drives us through that sand and that mud and those flats. Yes. Our feet and then our hands are crucial. So I'm always concerned about, you know, my wrists and my feet, especially this time of year when it gets so cold and my feet go numb. I'm like, oh man, I hope I get feeling back in my toes.
We've all had numb feet hunting and fishing over the years. That's nothing like warming them up and getting the feeling back in them.
Yeah,
all right, Rihanna. Well, hey, it's always fun talking to you, and appreciate your good conversation. And enjoy the week off, because it looks like it's going to be kind of off the grid a little bit here for everybody. But
I'll be back after it on Wednesday.
There's always a good warming trend behind these, so.
Yes, sir. I'm hoping it warms up pretty quickly after this little cold snap.
Yeah, especially y'all. You're down south. It'll come back quick down there.
Absolutely.
Well, if anybody wants to call you about coming down and hooking up and getting a trip in, it's big girl season down your way. How do they get a hold of you?
Sure is. Well, my number is 361-296-5400. I actually have Friday through Sunday available. This coming Friday and Saturday, Sunday available in Port Mansfield. So if you want to come make a wade with me and go chase down some big girls, give me a call.
That's it. Pop a wade and feed the deer down there.
Heck yeah.
There's some big ones down there. Never a dull moment.
There's some big ones.
All right, hon. Well, hey, it's always good talking to you. You have a great Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week. You be safe out there.
All righty, Mickey. You as well. Bye-bye.
All right, Rihanna. See you. All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back next Thursday morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.